In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I have with me one of the priests for life, Father Stephen Imbarato, and he's going to tell us about his story. You know, everyone has a story, and that story needs to be listened to. Everyone has a story, but there are so few people who will listen. Let's listen to Father as he gives us his story in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. It's just a real honor to be on your show again. I was on your show when I was in the seminary in the early 2000s. I went to Holy Apostles Seminary. I was a late life vocation. I'm actually a great grandfather. My granddaughter, Ariane, is now pregnant and about 22 weeks along. So I'm probably one of the few great grandpa priests in the United States. So I got ordained in 2005. And my story actually goes back to the mid-70s, a few years after Roe versus Wade legalized abortion in this country. And I, with my girlfriend, who I will call Eve, was away from the church. We were living away from the church, away from the sacraments, really living a life of sin and in sin. And I did what Adam did to Eve. When I give my talk, when I give my story, I always relate it back to Adam and Eve. When Adam did not stand up for Eve, when the serpent entered into the Garden of Paradise, it says that Adam was there. And of course, Adam did not intervene when the serpent was trying to trick Eve into eating the forbidden fruit, making her think that indeed she would not die. And of course, there was not the idea of physical death, but spiritual death if she ate the fruit. And Adam did not intervene. He did not stand up for Eve. He didn't say, "Come on, Eve, let's get out of here." He didn't step on the serpent's head or say, "Get behind me, Satan." He did nothing. And of course, Eve, being intuitive, saw Adam's silence as a tacit approval, and she ate the fruit. And then afterwards, we see that they realized they were naked. They realized they had sinned. And they go into hiding. And when God comes looking for them and realizes they ate the fruit, Adam, who really could have prevented the sin and taken Eve away from the near occasion of sin, ends up blaming Eve and God, saying, "The woman you sent me gave me the fruit to eat." Well, you know, I'm guilty of an abortion. My Eve had an abortion, but indeed I'm guilty and I was complicit in that abortion because I was Adam to my Eve. When she told me that she was pregnant, I said, "I will support you in whatever decision you make." And, of course, then I gave her some reasons why probably the better course of action was to have the abortion instead of having the baby. I did not stand up for our baby. I did not stand up for her. I didn't say, "Eve, you know, have the baby. We'll work through this. It's our baby, and I will take care of you, and I'll take care of our baby." No, I said, "It's your decision. I'll support you in whatever decision you make." My Eve, being intuitive, as our mother Eve was intuitive, said, "Well, if he wanted me to have the baby, he would just tell me, 'I love you, have the baby.' But he didn't, so he must want me to have the abortion." She had the abortion, and then very quickly started acting out. I indeed had some interior guilt, and we sat down and talked about it one day. And we went, upon coming to the realization of what we'd done was horribly wrong, Eve came to the realization far greater and quicker than I did. We actually went to see a priest who I had known through my family. We actually went to confession and for a while went back to the sacraments, went back to the faith. But we fell into the same old sins, and then at some point later we parted company. We parted company amicably. It wasn't until decades later that I got into pro-life activism, and I was in front of the abortion mill, where indeed my Eve had the abortion, decades before, where I was convicted by counseling to a young guy, telling him, you need to go in there and tell your Eve to come out, that you're going to stand by her and the baby. And I realized then that decades before, I did not do that with my Eve. I was convicted, like Nathaniel said to David, you are that man. Indeed, I was that man, and I went to my spiritual director at the seminary, said I'd like to look up my Eve. We had mutual friends. I looked up my Eve. She agreed to it. We had lunch, and I, during that lunch, apologized to her for not being a man, not standing up for her, not standing up for our baby decades before. I could tell by her tears that this is something that she'd wanted and needed to hear for a long, long time. Important part of the healing process for me, apologizing, her hearing the apology. And it was during that lunch when I said, I take some solace, some comfort in Christ's mercy that our baby is in heaven. She said that indeed we have two babies in heaven. At that point I said, you had two abortions? And she said, no, I never told you that it was twins. And that was really another slap upside the head, making me realize that indeed she kept this secret, as so many women keep their abortion secret, so many men keep their abortion secret, that I had to then heal again from wounding her, and then of course the death of our other baby. Our two babies are Mary and Thomas. And so, you know, there's four scenarios that involve men and abortion. Every single abortion involves a baby who dies, a woman who's wounded, and of course there is always a man involved. And there's four scenarios that involve men. There are men who have come to me and said, Father, I found out after the fact that my girlfriend had an abortion. I didn't even know about it. I'm devastated. But as a percentage of all the abortions, that scenario is quite small, even though it happens often. I've had men come to me and say, Father, my girlfriend had an abortion in spite of the fact that I wanted her to have the baby. Heard that many times, but as a percentage of the whole, very small. I have seen men drag their Eve, their victims, into the abortion mill. Statutory rape, maybe even incest, relational abuse. And I've seen that many, many times over the years in my pro-life activism, but as a percentage of the whole, very, very small. The overwhelming majority of abortion situations that cost the life of a baby and the wounding of a woman is the Adam and Eve scenario, where Adam does not stand up for his Eve, does not take responsibility in many cases, even after the fact. And so my story really is about encouraging all men out there to stand up. Let's not be like Adam. Let's be like Christ, right? Let's stand up for our little ones. Let's stand up for our babies. And indeed, let us respect our women, treat our women the way all men should really treat women, especially in a Catholic mindset, a Christian mindset. You know, all life is unique, precious, and unrepeatable. Our women have elevated places in our faith and, of course, should in our culture, because they are the childbearers. That is why. That's what makes them special. That elevates their dignity. They are the childbearers. They are the, along with us, though, they are the co-creators with Christ in new life. And men, we need to protect our women. So, Father, that's the shortened version of my story. If anyone listening out there wants to talk with me, they can get in touch with me through Priest for Life. I am a pastoral priest, a Priest for Life. I do full-time pro-life ministry with Priest for Life. A big part of it is giving counsel, giving pastoral direction to men and women who have been wounded by abortion. I encourage people to go to either Silent No More or Rachel's Vineyard, two ministries under the Priest for Life umbrella, or they can get in touch with me through Priest for Life. I'd be more than willing to spend whatever time is necessary and give you the direction necessary to bring yourselves to healing, to immerse yourselves in Christ's mercy. There is no unforgivable sin sin other than the sin of not asking and seeking Christ's mercy. So abortion, which many, many people suffer in silence, and you don't have to suffer in silence. You don't have to suffer long. There's priests like Father Tom, myself, many, many priests. Go to the confessional, and again, you can go to the Priest for Life website, priestforlife.org, or Rachel's Vineyard, Silent No More, and get the help that you need, because we need to bring our culture, our women, our men to healing.
Now, in your pamphlet, it says you are post-abortive. What does that mean?
Post-abortive means that I was complicit in an abortion, as I just explained, and that I have, over the years, suffered the effects of abortion. And everyone who is complicit, has had an abortion, suffers the effect. They may realize it and seek healing, but many, many, many people have not realized that they've been affected by abortion or acting out, high-risk behavior, any number of things. There are symptoms of post-abortion syndrome in men, and there are symptoms of post-abortion syndrome in women. And so if you see anyone that may be involved in high-risk behavior, may be unwilling to commit, maybe struggle around small children, any number of things, it's a question that we want to ask ourselves and not be afraid to ask others. People who come into the confessional, especially women who come into the confessional and start talking to me about high-risk behavior, I ask them, you know, well, first I say, may I ask you a question? I always give ask them permission to even broach the subject. Have you ever been sexually abused or physically abused, or have you ever had an abortion, either directly or indirectly been part of an abortion? And almost universally, one of those three things have happened to the women, and very often it's been that they have been guilty of either directly or indirectly in an abortion.
Silence No More. Tell us about that, because you know what? Most women and men that really wanted the child, I remember Stephen calling me up saying, my girlfriend is pregnant and I want the child, but she doesn't want the child, and she's got the last decision. My decision doesn't make any sense. Tell me about Silence No More.
Yeah, it's Silent No More Awareness. Silent No More Awareness. So if you Google Silent No More or the Silent No More Awareness program, it is a program where women and men, and actually siblings now, abortion doctors, anyone that's been affected by abortion and have gone through a healing process, usually Rachel's Vineyard or some type of Project Rachel healing process, do say, I'm going to be silent no more, and I'm going to speak out now about how I have been wounded, I have been affected by abortion. And it's a very, very powerful program. I was the first male to give my testimony with Silent No More. Every year at the foot of the Supreme Court, after the March for Life, we have this two-hour rally, so to speak, witness, so to speak, where women, men, and now siblings, grandparents, again, people in the abortion industry speak about how they've been affected by abortion. Priests for Life has embarked upon this program, started a couple of years ago, called Shockwaves, where indeed this culture of death, this abortion culture, has sent shockwaves through the culture that has affected everyone. All of us have been affected by abortion. Of course, JP II, St. John Paul II, has said this in Evangelium Vitae. It's no longer a personal sin. It's gone beyond that. It's a structure of sin, a culture of death, where there's been so many abortions. It's just so it's permeated our culture, and it's affected everyone. When you think about since the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision, indeed millions, 60 million now babies lost, not with us. It has to affect each and every one of us.
We've been in front of the abortion mills many times, and one of the experiences that I had was during Christmas. And this mother was taking her little son to buy Christmas toys, and she brought her daughter to the abortion mill. I'll never forget it. She went to buy Christmas toys while the daughter went upstairs to have the abortion. When she came down, she was sick, so we ministered to her. We got her Coca-Cola. We prayed with her. We asked Jesus to help her. She was literally sick, you know, throwing up. And that grandmother, really, what a shame. And, you know, if you start thinking that what's in the womb, it's not a tulip, it's not an egg, it's an unborn child. An unborn child. Tell us what's going to happen at 2 o'clock today.
Well, Father, I've been invited by the good people of Prayers for Life. And you can go to www.prayersforlife.org, and you can get the entire schedule of my visit here in the Boston area. I've been invited by a wonderful group of people that have immersed themselves in Christ's divine mercy, have immersed themselves in the culture of life, this battle between life and death. And I am here today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Today at 2 o'clock, we are going to be at the Planned Parenthood at 1055 Commonwealth in Boston from 2 to about 3 o'clock. We're going to have the Divine Mercy image, and we're going to pray and witness. As Father pointed out, that Christmas, people witnessing in front of the abortion mill, even if we don't save babies that particular day, like in the situation where the grandmother was oblivious to the fact that her grandchild was dying that day, the Holy Spirit will work through those who pray and witness in front of abortion mills, whether it be Planned Parenthood or other abortion mills. And indeed, very possibly through that witness, through that Christian charity, that girl who suffered from the abortion will affect the grandmother, and hopefully then they will come to healing. Maybe not immediately, but, you know, sometime down the road. Sometimes it takes 30, 35 years. So I invite everyone to come 2 o'clock today to the Planned Parenthood at 1055 Commonwealth. We're going to have basically a holy hour in front of the abortion mill with the Divine Mercy image, and it'll be time to pray. There's a series of events that go from this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sunday we have the exclamation point on the weekend. We're going to do a holy hour of Chapel of Divine Mercy and Confession at 2:30. From Madonna at the Madonna Queen of the Universe Shrine on Gladstone Street in Boston. And then that's going to be followed by Mass, and then a candlelight, and then a dinner, a candlelight rosary. And I know this is very, very hard to process, or you don't even have to write it down. All you have to do, folks, is go to www.prayersforlife.org. If you hit the donate button and enter the ticket amount, or process a credit card, or you can call 781-391-1396. Let me repeat that again slowly. 781-391-1396. So call that number, 781-391-1396, or go to prayersforlife.org. The entire schedule of events that are planned for this afternoon, tomorrow in the Fitchburg area, if that's close to you, or Sunday, we have 2.5 days of events left. Please go to prayersforlife.org, and indeed you can get the schedule of events. You can buy tickets for those events that indeed require a ticket, but there's other prayer events where there's no admission, no ticket purchase required, and that schedule is at prayersforlife.org. And so I'm hoping that many of those who are listening today will indeed visit with us this weekend, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. And again, if you know anyone who is post-abortive, suffering from, or seems to be suffering, and maybe can't even put your finger on why, or if you or someone you know is post-abortive, been affected by abortion, please, priestforlife.org, Silent No More Awareness, Rachel's Vineyard. Go to those websites, or you can get in touch with me through Priest for Life. So let me give you that phone number one more time, 781-391-1396.
I remember being in Washington for the march, and the year that I went, there was a snowstorm, and we couldn't do anything. But I said to myself, I have a radio program,
right,
and I can get on the phone, and I can say to people, if you're pregnant, you can go to a pregnancy health place that we have in Quincy. And I preached the gospel, and I said, if you're pregnant, don't have an abortion, you can go to this place. And you know, there were two women that responded. Two women that, you never know who's listening.
Right.
You never know who's listening today. That God loves you, and He's got a plan for your life. And that He can bring good out of the abortion. He can bring good out of it. Not that He wanted it, but something could happen. You can become the most pro-life person in the world because you know what it is to abort a child. God does not condemn us. There is no condemnation in Christ, but we must repent and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, Father, that is so true. And if we do have any pregnant women out there right now listening, or you know any pregnant women, if they are stressed, if they are what we call in crisis because of their pregnancy, if you can get them for a solitary moment to say, I am not going to abort my child, that choice is off the table. I'm going to have my child. They will immediately be filled with a rush of peace. And that is the sign from Jesus that you're making the right decision. Now, there's still going to be problems. There's still going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But all of those are they're not insurmountable. With the grace of God, all things are possible. But once a mom makes the choice that I am going to have my child, then there's a peace that enters into the situation, and everything becomes more reasonable, less passionate, less crisis, a stress, and then we can start dealing with the issues to bring that baby, of course, to birth and to bring joy to the world. And indeed, you know, this is a culture of sin, a structure of death, and we've sold women a bill of goods that somehow abortion is not only the right thing to do, but a good thing to do. It's the solution to all of your problems. No, it's not. It's never the solution to the problem. And indeed, our little brothers and sisters in the womb are unique, precious, and unrepeatable. And if you say yes to Jesus, say yes to life, great joy and blessings will come from it. So please, anyone who's pregnant, or you know someone who's pregnant out there in crisis, please talk to them and ask them to seek help. Go to any yellow pages, go online, abortion alternatives, and they'll find a place where they can get the help they need.
Just recently, there was a woman going for an abortion at Planned Parenthood with her boyfriend. And she came out quickly. So we thought she changed her mind. You know what she said? They wanted money, and we didn't have any money. And they said, we can't help you. It's all about an industry. Abortion is an industry. That's where they collect millions of dollars. Millions of them. So our pro-life people talked to this young girl that it's wonderful that they threw you out. But you see, they don't believe in free abortions. It's all about the almighty buck.
Well, and it's our taxpayer money, because Medicaid in most states covers most abortions, all right? And this whole idea that there's no such thing as federal funding of abortion, that's not true. Once Medicaid money goes from the federal government to the states, it now becomes state money. States can administer it in the way that they deem necessary. Many, many states allow Medicaid to pay for abortions in New Mexico, which is the late-term abortion. That's where I'm from. I live in Albuquerque, the late-term abortion capital of the Southwest and in many ways the country. We just recently did an expose where we had someone who was 33 weeks pregnant call up, and they were going to kill the baby for $15,000 reimbursable by Medicaid. And this is what's going on all over the country. In many, many places in this country, I think it's upwards to 10 states in the country, including D.C., abortions are legal and obtainable up to the day of birth in this country. So let's not think that indeed, as Father said, this is an industry and it's being paid in many, many instances by our tax dollars.
Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. Resurrexit, sit cum dixit, resurrexit, sit cum dixit, Alleluia, Alleluia. Ora, ora, pro nobis pacem, ora, ora, pro nobis pacem, Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, for your Son, the one that you held in your womb, has been raised from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.